This is a blessing and an honor to be with you this morning. I have been blessed. And who would have known 20 plus years ago when I first got to know Jorge Dagoberto in Honduras as a neighbor, who would have known that we would meet up again in New York City? Truly, life is so many paths and where we cross. So yes, we live in Honduras. We've lived there for 22 years now. And today, three of my children accompany me. We have seven children. My wife and the three youngest stayed at home. We came for several things, but it's a blessing to be here with you this morning. I would like to go into the message, and I guess if there are more introductions to be made, you can ask me, and maybe we can. Lots of times I didn't think of anything, any introduction like to give this morning. So I would like to open up this morning with some thoughts. It's a study that has blessed me before, and it's a very fascinating story. We'd like to start in Exodus chapter 21, in the laws that pertain to the slaves. Now, slavery has been abolished for some years, although you see a lot of signs traveling through the airports of human trafficking. And so slavery still does exist in a clandestine way. But, you know, years ago, slavery was an accepted part of society, and there were specific laws that God instituted for the benefit of the slaves so that it could be a blessing to his people. And it's interesting that as the years passed, and these were some things, these laws were not respected by God's people. And you'll probably understand why. Where I'm referring to it, Exodus 21, I'd like to read from verses 1 to 6 and just think a little bit about what it calls here the Hebrew servant. Now, these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. And if he came, if he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the door post. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Now, this only applied to the Hebrew servants. They were to serve their masters when, lots of times, the way I understand it, these were men who had incurred debts that couldn't pay. And so they had to sell themselves to someone who could pay their debts, and then they would serve. But there was a limit here. 6 years. And in the seventh, he shall go free. But there was a clause at the end, and there was some details that we're not going to look at really in detail about whether he entered as a single or not, you know. But there could have been cases in which the servant said, you know what? I don't want to be free. I love my master. There was provision for someone like that. It wasn't a case of an open-ended agreement where the servant could just stay another year or two if he wanted to, and then if he wanted to opt out of it, you know, he wanted to stop being a servant, then he could leave. No, he couldn't. That wasn't an option. It was either you go free, face life with all its uncertainties, with all its challenges by yourself, see if you can make a go of it without going into debt again, or you stay in the security of your master's house forever. It's one or the other. They had to do something. Take him to the judges. And so here we have this morning a man who has come to the judges of the gate. And it's an ancient city. It's in the afternoon, perhaps. And there's a slave that's coming. And he says, I want to serve my master forever. And so they bring him their witnesses, and they say, you want to serve? Yes, I want to serve my master. Do you understand that this is a non-reversible decision? Yes, I understand. And so we take him over to a doorpost, maybe a post that's there by the wayside, and he has to put his ear there, and they bring in this sharp instrument, an awl, and perhaps a hammer, a stone, or something, and you put the sharp thing there on his earlobe, and bang. He's marked. He's marked. And from that time on, he's marked forever. He is his master's servant for the rest of his life. He has the mark, and he can't back out of it. And I want you to notice just several things I want to highlight here in this passage, because this is such a beautiful thing that repeats itself in the life of our master. And this morning I want to invite you to repeat it in your life. Well, before we go on, just like to highlight the fact that this only applied to the Hebrew servant. And it was only if the servant asked for it. His master couldn't say, you know what, I really like my servant. Look, you need to stay with me. We're going to mark you. No, it was something that the slave had to ask for. And as I already mentioned, this was a non-reversible decision. It was something that when it was done, it was something that he couldn't go back and change after a year or two because I just don't like it. Guess what? It's done. It's a non-reversible decision. It's something that you have, a decision you have made. So I want you to turn now to Psalms. Psalms chapter 40. And we have a very fascinating passage here. You might not catch it. I know I have read this psalm for many years until it was pointed out to me. Here in Psalms 40, it's a little bit clearer in Spanish, perhaps. In English, it sounds, let's read verses 6 to 10. Psalms 40, 6 to 10. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Who is the I in these verses? Who is talking? Who is speaking? Well, we could say, reading the psalm, it was the psalmist. Maybe it says it's a psalm of David. Was David the one speaking here? Yes, it was David. But it is even more than David. And we know this Because Hebrews 10 cites this same passage. And in Hebrews 10, and I'd just like you to keep a finger here in Psalms 40. And in Hebrews 10, I'd just like to read the verses 4 to 10. Notice, where, and here is very, very clearly talking about Jesus. There's no missing it here. Jesus was the one who, well, I'll just read it. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, so it's Jesus coming into the world, and he's saying, sacrifice and offering. This is a direct quotation of Psalms 40. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. And notice that that's what it uses to, instead of mine ears hast thou opened. But it's the same thing. So I just want to finish reading here in Hebrews 10. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. In other words, you didn't want that. But a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. And when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So I get this mental picture. Jesus is about, before entering into the world, he's telling God the Father, he said, sacrifices and offerings aren't enough. Here is my body. As it says in Psalms 40, here is my ear. You have bored an ear, a hole in my ear. It's not talking about here where it says, mine ears hast thou opened. It's not talking about digging wax out of your ear. It's talking about that mark of the slave making a mark, a visible mark on your ear and making it, and that's the kind of commitment that Jesus made. When you think about it, when Jesus decided to come as an offering for us, he was offering himself. He was committing to be a servant. That's something that came through time and time again in his ministry. He was a servant. He was a slave. Time and time again, you hear him saying, I have come to do the will of the Father who hath sent me. And we get to the climax whenever he is there, knelt in prayer in Gethsemane, and he is begging the Father. He's begging the Father, please, I don't know if I can handle this. I want you to take away this cup. I don't know if I can handle the cross. Please take it away from me. I feel like I can't, but it's your will. Thy will be done. Your will. And we know that God did not take the cup away. You see, it was a non-reversible decision that he had made back before he had entered the world. When Jesus entered the world, he had made a non-reversible decision, a decision that could not be taken back. And he knew that, even though in his humanity he struggled with that tremendously. Brethren, can anyone identify just a little bit with that feeling of struggling with God's will? And I know what God wants. And I want to do his will, and yet it's so hard. So Jesus made this commitment. And I want to make several points this morning. I want to notice several things about Jesus' commitment. About the slave's commitment, about Jesus' commitment, and what should be our commitment. Because it's very, very parallel. There's a very, very parallel commitments. And this morning, I want to invite you. If you have already started on this journey, praise the Lord, keep on. If you haven't made the step, I want to invite you to make it, to give your life to God and make the commitment. I hesitate, I don't know, in Spanish we use the word compromiso. It's almost a heavier word. And commitment, I couldn't find another word that would have just a little bit more weight. Maybe covenant, I thought of covenant, but covenant has the two-sided, and a commitment. But it's a really heavy, a really strong commitment we make when we follow Christ. And I think that's one thing we do well in understanding, trying to understand. So what is this commitment? Our commitment, first of all, point number one, our commitment to God is not obligatory. It is voluntary. Just as the slave would come voluntarily. It wasn't that his master was bringing him in chains. It wasn't that someone else was wringing his arm and telling him he had to come. No, he was coming because he wanted to. This was a volunteer, is a voluntary act. Jesus, time and time again, in his words, come, take up your cross, follow me. But in no place did he grab someone by the arm and, you know, drag them. When he walked by those fishermen there along the seashore, he said, come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. And I don't know how long he was there, but whenever he kept on walking, he didn't have those disciples chained behind him. They followed him because they wanted to. It was a voluntary. And this morning, you know, it's one thing that we grow up with it's one thing I really thank God for, and yet it's sort of a positive thing. Lots of times can be a negative thing for us. It can be negative. It can be positive. There are two sides to it. You know, having grown up in a Christian home as a young person, I was very, very blessed. But you know, the culture that we grew up with at home, it made it very easy. It makes it very easy for us to just do the expected thing, become a Christian, be baptized, and just keep on, you know, because that's what everyone else around me is doing. But I think we do well to call our attention, look, what are you doing? Not that we would, they say that among the Jewish, among the Jews, the Jewish rabbis try to make it as difficult as possible for someone entering. You know, do you really want to do this? Do you realize what you're doing? You know, it is sort of, and I think from, especially for those within, we need to make sure that we understand the commitment that we are making. I know that's not one thing that I that's one thing that has grown on me over the years. And it's impossible to understand everything. We don't have to understand everything at the very beginning, but we do need to understand that this is something I don't have to do. Now, I want to say that, but it is true that if we don't commit ourselves to Jesus today, if we don't kneel to him voluntarily today, Romans 14 tells us that we will kneel to him someday in the future. And that will not be pretty for those who have not knelt today. So the option, you know, it is voluntary, but I do want to remind you that there are consequences whether you choose or whether you don't choose. And when we see all the evidence stacked up, it's It's a decision that is worth making, and I want to put that before you. It's, you know, for the slave, you could ask, why in the world would a slave want to stay with his master forever? Well, guess what? His master loved him. His master provided everything. Yes, there was work, but he didn't have to work more than he couldn't, you know? He had a good life. Everything was provided. There was love. There was provision. There was security. Of course he wanted to stay with his master. Like we would say, it's a no-brainer, right? I want to stay with my master. Yes, and that's the way it is with God. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't we want to serve our Father? Yes, it's not obligatory, but there are so many reasons to serve God. Point number two, our commitment to God will bring limitations. Yes, there are limitations. You know, Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. And I wish that we could understand it and hear it with Jewish ears. Cross. You know, over the centuries, cross has become an ornament. Cross has become a pretty thing. You know, you see necklaces with crosses hanging, you know, around the necks of people. But guess what? Cross was an instrument of death. How would you like to be carrying a chain with an electric chair? You know? Would you like that? I think, or maybe a Nazi symbol, you know? Death, horror, terror. When I think cross, you know, the first century Jew would have thought, my uncle, maybe my dad, my brothers were crucified there in Galilee. There was an uprising, and the Romans came in and quashed it. And there they agonized in death for days before they died. A cross! Please! Not a cross! Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him take up his cross. There are limitations. There are no, you may not. You have to put to death your flesh. And in doing that, it really does limit what we can do. Those are real limitations. We're going down the road. There are things that we have to avert our eyes away from. We have to bring into captivity all of our thoughts. There are places our thoughts would like to take us. No, I cannot go there. I will not go there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Limitations. And you know what? That's something that's really, really hard for us to accept. If we just live in we see the society around us, and it's just do whatever you want to do. Live whatever you want to live. There are no consequences. There are consequences. There are limitations for those of us who are serving God. That's the way it is. Our commitment to God brings limitations. You know, that servant, after he had his ear bored through, he couldn't go back out on the streets and just go do whatever he wanted to do. He had to live according to his master's wishes. There were limitations. He had to be there. He had to do what his master wanted him to do. Point number three. Our commitment to God will bring pain. Did I say will? Can't I say might? Might bring pain? Will bring pain. That wasn't a nice thing to have the ear pierced. It wasn't painless, it was painful. A tender, the tender part of your ear. Jesus, we can't fully comprehend the level of pain that he faced. Rejection, emotional pain, physical pain. It was very painful for him as a slave to the Father's will. Very painful. Does it have to be painful for us? Does God enjoy the pain that we endure for him? No, God is not sadistic. But we have been deceived as a human race. We have been deceived. And so there are things that we have already done that bring pain. There is pain in this life because of sin. And so our commitment to come back to God always means that there will be pain. There are separation. Numerous times Jesus mentioned that in saying, you know, I have come to bring a sword to the earth. I have come to bring division. Why was that? Isn't he a prince of peace? Yes, he's a prince of peace. But as soon as someone starts following Jesus, and this is particularly the case when, you know, I have seen in families, maybe the first person makes the step to follow Jesus. That is a very painful thing. Very painful. The rejection. That's what Jesus was talking about. He understands that. He knows Jesus went through that. Point number four. Our commitment to God is for life. It's non-reversible. The slave's commitment was for life. Jesus begged the Father to backtrack or change his plan. It was not to be. It was not to be. Our commitment to God is also that way this morning. Do you remember when Jesus talked about what happens whenever someone has the evil spirits cast out? They come back and they find it empty. What happens? Seven more worse. And I forget exactly, and now I'm going to have to quote it. El postrer estado es peor que el primero. The last state of that man is worse than the first. I don't exactly know how it says. That's the gist. The end state of that man is worse than when he started. And you know why that is? It's because when we start to serve God, when we are freed, we are on a track that is non-reversible. And if we come back, it will be worse for us. It is better, Jesus said, for someone to never have believed than to believe and turn back. And I want to call you to that this morning. You who have made a commitment to serve God, you have, as I think it was Francisco Pizarro, one of the Spanish conquistadors, when they were, he was with his men and they were in South America, I forget exactly where it was. He drew a line in the sand. And he said, okay, men, those of you who will go with me, those on this side of the line,
There will be hardships to endure. There will be difficulties, dangers, but at the end, riches and wealth and blessing. For those of you turning back, going home to Spain, stay on that side of the line. There is ease, there is security, but you have poverty. And, you know, drew a line and said, those of you who step across now will come with me and you stay with me. You make that decision. It's sort of the caliber of decision that Jesus has called us to as followers of him. He has called us not to an open-ended decision, no. And maybe you can feel constricted within that. Maybe we enjoy too much liberty and being able to go and come and just do whatever we want to do. But you know what? That's not the way Jesus' way is. And I don't think I'm making it more difficult than what it should be. Because when we choose to follow Jesus, it is a decision that we cannot take back. And if we do take back, it will be worse for us than before. Now, I probably shouldn't say that we cannot take back. Because, you know, what did the servant that had his ear pierced, was he chained? Was he tied by that ear? Could he run away? I think he could. Physically, it was possible, even though he was bound by a promise not to. Right? That's there's a lot of similarities with our commitment to God today. You know, we have made the decision. We have crossed the line. We have bored through our ear. We have pierced our ear. We have decided to follow Jesus. And that is a decision that we have to honor, that we need to honor. The last point I would like to make. Our commitment to God will bring security for all of eternity. And that's why I say when you compare the evidence, you know, is it worth it? I want to say this morning, yes, it is worth it. It is worth it and much more, and much more. Our commitment to God will bring security for eternity. We don't have to read very much in the Bible, in Revelations, to read of the glories of heaven. And according to what it is written, there is still much that we do not know. You know, this life is so short. The sacrifices we have to make here today are so few. They're so limited to the glories that are yet to come. And I want to hold that before you this morning. Let us not in any way believe the lie of, is it worth it? Yes, it's worth it to serve God and much more. In fact, people in the past, many, many, many people have paid with their lives for this commitment. And brethren, our commitment needs to be such that we would be willing to give our lives also for Jesus, if it would come to that. Which in daily life it should come to that, right? As we give our lives in an active, in a constant, you know, it can be draining, it can be difficult, but let's keep on. Let's keep on. Our commitment to God is more than worth it. I would like to end, and I want to confess that I still haven't read the most beautiful piece of Scripture. I've kept it for last. Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah 50. This is so beautiful. It's, again,
It's talking about Jesus. And as we read this passage, I'm not going to make many more remarks, but I want to read it, and I want you to meditate. This passage is talking about Jesus, the Lord's servant. And we have read about the servant in Exodus. The psalmist's testimony, Jesus' life, our commitment, all tied into one. It's very all parallel. Isaiah 50, verses 5-7. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. I will not be ashamed. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Amen. 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 Jesus said, I have not been rebellious. I have given my ear. They have done everything they could to me, but I will not be ashamed. Thank the Lord. God bless you as you give your ears to the cause of Christ.